Welcome to the Charger Online podcast brought to you by Hoffman Certified Organics in Huntertown, the only USDA certified organic poultry farm in Indiana. I'm your host, Maya Wilkins, and I am with my good friend and guest today.
I am Anna Hildebrand.
We are going to have so much fun today, Anne. You know why?
Why?
We're going to talk about our favorite historical person ever.
Who could that
Boss
be?
Boss Tweed.
Woo!
Okay, so a little background on Boss Tweed. He's not very well known. Like, I would say, like, I had no idea who he was before I took A Push last year, which is AP US History here at Carroll. And
should we tell the story?
Tell the story, Anne.
Boss Tweed. So, the legend of Boss Tweed. So, you know, A Push, AP US History. Looking over some questions. What are they called?
They were called SAQs. They're little essays that you have to write. They're just 3 to 4 sentences for each question. They're really easy to do. And we were looking over some from the Gilded Age and right after the Civil War. And we had not learned about Boss Tweed or anything from the Gilded Age yet, which is like the most corrupt time in American history. And
indeed.
Anna and I were in the same group and we were working together. And we read this one SAQ about Boss Tweed. And we legit thought he was fake the whole time.
No, I thought it wasn't even real.
Yeah, we thought it was fake the whole time. And then, like, literally a week later, Mrs. Clark was like, all right, today we're going to watch a documentary, and it's going to be about Boss Tweed. And
Anna and I
lost it.
That was
Oh my gosh. So for those of you who don't know me and Anna, we've been friends since freshman year. So we do like we talk about stuff, and it's just like the craziest things sometimes. We laugh about like the stupidest things, and Boss Tweed became like this one of our things. Like,
he
if you know us,
the icon.
Yes, if you know us, you know we love Boss Tweed. So, yeah, Anna actually portrayed Boss Tweed this year in our AP Lang class as him during our hot air balloon debate, which is basically where you have to try to not be thrown off the balloon by portraying somebody from history. And Anna did really well,
and
didn't you?
Indeed. And Boss Tweed was so well represented and so well loved that he won the entire debate.
Mm-hmm.
He won. The spirit of Boss Tweed lives in me. And so something that has just been like, I'm not even a history buff, but like something that it's just been like so fun for me just to like research the history of Boss Tweed.
It's just so funny because like even now I talk to Mrs. Clark and she's like, I still remember you and Anna sitting in the back of my room talking about Boss Tweed. I'm like,
Tweed.
We still do that.
We still do, and here we are now.
That's really just been like kind of the thing that's like bonded our friendship is like Boss Tweed and how amazingly corrupt he was. So you want to give the people a little history lesson in Boss Tweed?
Right. I have an extensive history of Boss Tweed. So basically the overview of Boss Tweed. So Boss Tweed's real name is William. Mm-hmm. He's known as Boss because he's best known for running a political machine that stole millions of dollars from New York City in the late 1800s. So
it's not really the best thing someone can be known for, but like he's found a way to make his mark in history because of that.
So I have a little history of Boss Tweed. So the first thing that I found about Boss Tweed from his early life, when Boss Tweed was a young man, he joined a volunteer fire department.
Oh wow.
Yes.
What a good guy.
So Boss Tweed, a normal guy. This is William Tweed. He's just a normal guy. And he decides to join the fire department. And so he's in this fire department. He's kind of an interesting fire department member. He gets known for his axe wielding violence. Like, that's a great thing to get known for when you're a fireman. But apparently that was like really cool because then he became the foreman of the fire department. Mm-hmm. And then he got political status from that. So I don't really know how I feel about
that. The thing that just like shocks me is I just don't understand how all of this stuff like lines up together. You know, like his story is just so bizarre. It's just so interesting. And I just can't help but laugh at it.
Yeah.
Okay, and then William Tweed got elected to be an alderman of New York City, someone who handled the money. He then became associated with 40 Thieves, the group of aldermen and assistant aldermen who, up to that point, were known as some of the most corrupt politicians in city's history.
Yeah, so that's kind of an interesting point in history. So basically, these, like, aldermen, so, like, yeah, they handle all the money, which is a big job, but then, you know, that's a lot of room for some corruption.
Mm-hmm.
Something, so, like, they basically kind of could run the entire city. They appointed the police. Mm-hmm. They were the judges. They could pick the juries and what cases could be heard. So, like, they controlled, like, almost all, like, the legal stuff of the city, and that became, like, kind of an in for Boss Tweed to sort of start on, like, you know, his path to corruption.
Well, it was so easy to be corrupt in New York City at the time, too, because, like, most of the people in New York were immigrants, so they didn't speak English, and they were just, like, really easy to take advantage of.
Yeah.
Especially the, like I said before, the immigrants. The Irish were also super easy to take advantage of because they were, you know, the, like, I don't know what I'm trying to say, like, the bottom of society.
Yeah.
And they just were looking for a way to get to the top, and they were going to support whoever was able to, like, give them money. So.
And that person who gave the money turned out to be William Tweed.
William Tweed.
So, basically, sort of kind of an organization that helped these Irish sort of, like, assimilate into a society and become kind of, like, key members of the Democratic Party was Tammany Hall. And this is a political organization in New York City. And Boss Tweed, as he, when he was an alderman, he's, like, gained a lot of political status. And eventually he became the, like, head of Tammany Hall. And so these people who, you know, came to Tammany Hall, the Irish immigrants who came and they, like, they needed help and wanted to be part of, like, this party. Basically, Boss Tweed ran that whole thing, so he gained a lot of support from lower-class people that really gave him, like, sort of an in, a lot of support, which I think that kind of, like, that was kind of a good cover-up for, like, all the corruption, because people didn't even realize it was happening. So that was, like, so he started becoming boss, he started to be called boss when he started controlling Tammany Hall.
Yeah. And then it says on here, too, that he was not trained to be a lawyer, but one of his friends, who was a judge in New York, actually certified him as an attorney. So that just shows how he just, like, you know, took control of New York and through the power of corruption.
So, yeah, helping people, like, with, like, legal stuff that was part of Tammany Hall. They were, like, did a lot of political, like, organization stuff, and that was part of how Tweed could also become very powerful, you know, do some business deals in his office, which maybe could have been, you know, quote unquote, like, stealing money.
He definitely did that. He stole a ton of money. His most audacious scheme involved the building of Old New York County Courthouse, the massive Italianate structure building. I cannot talk. I am so sorry.
I forgive you.
Okay, well, basically, he stole a bunch of money for that building, to build it, and then he got, like, a bunch of kickbacks for it, and then this is when this was the part in A Push where we lost it. We thought this was so funny, because remember, wouldn't he, like, up the price on chairs to, like, from, like, $10 to, like, $1,000?
He had a budget for this courthouse, but he definitely didn't follow the budget. He like wrote down, you know, oh yeah, you know, here's the cost of something, and definitely inflated the prices, and that looked like it was part of the budget, but really all that extra money was going back to him. I found a quote: the brooms that they had for the courthouse were billed for $250,000. Which, for a broom, seems kind of a lot of money. That's about $6 million today.
Uh-huh.
So.
What I just don't understand is, how did he get away with all of this? You know, because you would think somebody's going to realize, oh, look, this guy's taking all of our money and using it on brooms. Like, who thinks that's just completely normal, you know? But then, about it, they were immigrants. So, they didn't really have the access to the education as some other people in America have had, and they didn't speak much English, so it makes sense why they were so easy to take advantage of.
Well, and I think, and also, Boss Tweed basically everyone, since he ran Tammany Hall, he started running, he ran New York City, and so everyone worked for him. So mm-hmm. the whole government was in his scheme, and that was, like, really smart of him, because since there wasn't anyone who was able to really betray him, because they were all working for him. But his reign as the boss, unfortunately, did not last very long.
Unfortunately.
I know, it's really unfortunate.
Oh my gosh, I'm getting sad thinking about it.
I know, Tweed, his downfall. He was corrupt, and his downfall began in 1871. This had been going on for, like, decades.
Yeah, I'm trying, I wonder, how long was it going on for? Because didn't it start in, like, the 50s or the 60s?
Yeah.
When he started taking advantage? Yeah.
Yeah, he started, yeah, like, 1850s, 1860s, that's when he sort of became involved with mm-hmm. politics, and, like, it grew from there to him basically running the entire city of New York.
Yeah, he had control in 1868, that's what it says on our notes. He had control of Tammany Hall in 1868, and then he was arrested in 1871, so honestly, he only had 3 years where he was, like, in charge of the whole city. Wasn't it? Yeah, he was only had, like, 2 or 3 years where he was in charge of the whole city.
Yeah, so it was a short reign, yet very powerful.
He did a lot of damage.
And so once people were able to start figuring out, okay, that this is corrupt, they started figuring it out. Actually, my computer just died, and I had notes.
People started figuring it out, and, like, well, he was arrested in 1871. He died in 1871. I'm sorry. Yeah, he died in a sleigh accident in 1871, but he was put on trial. He was arrested twice, put on trial again, went to prison, got released, went to prison again, and then escaped to Spain in less than 10 years. I'm sorry, but I just don't understand. How did they not realize this guy was escaping to Spain? Like, you would think you'd realize that that's going on.
Yeah, I definitely... Yeah, we have some dates definitely mixed up on this slide.
Yeah, we definitely do.
Unfortunately.
But we've got basically the gist of it that we needed to get. So, yeah. We're going to take a quick break real quick. When we come back, we're going to talk more about our favorite historical person, Boss Tweed. Look into some of the political cartoons about him and some of our favorite quotes by him. Yeah. So, today the Charger Online podcast is brought to you by our sponsors, Hoffman Certified Organics. Hoffman Organics is a local USDA certified organic farm specializing in 100% organic chickens. Since the start of the farm back in 2015, the farm focused on pure organic chicken and turkey. They strive to produce the highest quality and ethically raised organic products available on the market. Their chickens live on clean, fresh grass and eating only organically raised grains, pasture grasses, and cover crops. You can visit our sponsor on their website at hoffmanorganics.com, where you can find the purpose of their farm and also how they raise their chickens. Also, you can friend them on Facebook by the same name to find updates on the farm and seasonal deals. Thank you again, Hoffman Organics, for sponsoring the Charger Online podcast. All right, Anna, you want to look into some of our favorite quotes by him?
Indeed.
He has a lot. Boss Tweed, like, he was clowning, okay? that's the best way to put it. Because he did some of, like, the craziest things, and they're hilarious. One of my favorites by him is, I don't care who does the electing as long as I get to do the nominating.
Wow.
How inspiring. Like, that's just so inspiring, yeah. You know?
Another one of his quotes is along the same line, as long as I count the votes, what are you going to do about it?
You know, I feel like that may be my senior quote.
That is a very good senior quote.
I feel like, at this point, I've talked about him so much over the last year, that if my senior quote isn't by Boss Tweed, people are going to be disappointed, you know?
That's true. I guess that I think these, like, really, these show just sort of his philosophy, like, mm-hmm. when he's in power, like, his kind of, like, that shows his vision. When, like, you know, the people in power, they get to run the show. Mm-hmm. And everyone else just sort of has to follow along. That was his philosophy.
He really got that, too.
Yeah.
You know?
He really did.
Yeah. I think Boss Tweed just, like, perfectly embodies, like, corruption in politics.
He really did.
Because we usually, like, when you think about corrupt politicians, you think of some, like, you know, Richard Nixon, who had Watergate and all of that.
And that was a very, like, that unraveled really fast.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas this sort of took a while. You know, he was under the radar for a long time. Mm-hmm. And something that definitely helped for his scheme to sort of, like, start going down were his, the people who figured this out, where a lot of them were, some of them were police officers and who were looking into the situation. Somebody else who was looking into this was just a journalist, Thomas Nast.
Oh, yes. We read Thomas Nast and looked at his political cartoons about Boss Speed a lot.
Yeah.
One of my absolute favorites is the one cartoon of him where he is a vulture.
Oh, that's
and
a wonderful
he's sitting on the nest, and, like, all the people are, right, like, right there, and I don't remember what the caption is at the bottom.
Yeah, Boss Tweed, portrayed as a vulture.
I'm gonna look it up.
So, basically, Thomas Nast, like, once, like, Thomas Nast wanted, like, people to know, like, the common people to know that Boss Tweed was corrupt. Mm-hmm. And, like, you know, these immigrants, there are newspapers, they can't read it, they don't know, they can't understand what's happening in their government. So something that Thomas Nast did was he drew these political cartoons, like, portraying Boss Tweed as a really, like, huge man who's, like, taking over. He's portrayed Boss Tweed as, like, guy, he's wearing, like, jail clothes, the striped suit.
Yeah, there's one of him where he's wearing, like, his head is just a bag of money instead, because that's all he cared about.
Yeah, so Thomas Nast was somebody, and he drew these political cartoons of Boss Tweed to show these, like, maybe less educated people that Boss Tweed was a bad guy, and Boss Tweed knew himself. His constituents did not know how to read.
You want to read off that quote?
Am I allowed to say that on the air?
I wouldn't say that. One word. it's got a bit of explicit language.
Okay.
We're going to take that
out.
We'll
just take that word out.
We're going to, yeah.
Boss Tweed, when he saw these political cartoons of himself, he said, "I don't care a straw for your newspaper articles. My constituents don't know how to read, but they can't help seeing them pictures." So Boss Tweed knew that the people who liked, like, the immigrants who believed in him, they couldn't read all the bad things that were being published about him, but they could see these pictures, they could see this is Boss Tweed, there's obviously something fishy going on, and that sort of led to the people sort of losing faith in him.
Yeah, Thomas Nast was really only Boss Tweed's, like, real threat this time, because no one else was going to rise up against him and be like, "Oh, I'm going to take down the boss, like, I'm going to take control of New York." Nobody else was thinking about that. Thomas Nast was the only one that could have done that because of journalism and because of drawing these pictures and showing the people, like, "Hey, look, this guy's not good. He's not looking out for you."
Yeah. Something, like, so Boss Tweed's downfall was with, like, a lot of it had to do with Thomas Nast. What I thought was funny, I found this article about how Boss Tweed's downfall began. And so Boss Tweed was at, like, the peak of his career when he started running Tammany Hall, and so, you know, he had, like, people, his staff, you know, recording that brooms were $250,000. But then one of his staff members died, and this is the staff member who died by getting their head smashed in a horse sleigh accident. This was just a staff member, they're an auditor, they had all these papers about Boss Tweed, and he was dead. So Boss Tweed's staff member, all these records that showed Boss Tweed's corruptions were now out of the hands of his staff, because his staff member was dead. So Boss Tweed, he tried to destroy these records, because now they were, like, more easy to access by the police, but the police got to them first, and at the same time, there were some riots in New York City. I mean, you know, people were beginning to not trust Tweed. There's these political cartoons. They, like, are realizing that it's not good. So So the higher ups were able to, like, kind of crack down on him. Mm-hmm. Which, yeah.
New York at the time was just kind of, I don't know how to describe it. It was an interesting place to be, because that's where all the corruption was happening. You think of the Gilded Age, you think of New York. So the Gilded Age is when it's the rise of Carnegie Steel, it's the rise of Rockefeller, it's the rise of Vanderbilt and Ford. Majority of them were in New York, and they were building their empires up from essentially nothing.
And these were people who, like, they ran steel industries, mm-hmm. they ran oil industries, they ran really big, like, industries, railroads. These were, like, mm-hmm. technologies that were really big right now, so.
Yeah, and they were doing whatever they could to get to the top, because these are people who came from nothing. Like, yeah. Carnegie, I'm pretty sure he was an immigrant, wasn't he? He was an No, he was a Scottish immigrant, I think.
I can't say for sure.
I know he was, I feel like he was an immigrant from somewhere. Rockefeller came from nowhere in Ohio. So, I mean, yeah. So, and then he rose up to create so many cool things in New York. So, you think of the Gilded Age, you think of New York. And New York itself was corruption, because it's so easy to take advantage of these people and these immigrants. It's so easy to take advantage of them, and there's just so many people there who wanted to do the same thing as them and to rise up and to create something bigger than themselves.
And, like, yeah, keep in mind, this is, you know, this is the 1800s, late mm-hmm. 1800s we're talking about. There weren't any regulations about businesses. Now, you know, we've got, mm-hmm. you know, got, like, taxes, you know, you can't have, like, a monopoly on certain things. That's now. Back in the 1800s, they didn't have any of those rules, and mm-hmm. people could kind of do what they wanted. You know, people could just, you know, run Tammany Hall, and that was legal. Not everything they did was, like, legal, but, like, they didn't have as much, like, regulations mm-hmm. to get them in trouble.
Yeah, and the corporations were really in charge of everything.
Yeah.
Because, as we learned in Apush, everything comes back to Apush.
That's true.
As we learned in Apush, the corporations like Carnegie Steel and Standard Oil and all of them would put whatever political candidate they wanted in charge.
Yeah.
And this is like the era of the forgotten presidents, because it's McKinley and all those guys.
Wait, who are they? I forgot.
I don't even remember all the presidents.
Forgotten presidents. Yeah. I forgot them all.
Yeah, I know. I the only one I remember is McKinley, and I don't know why.
Yeah.
But, this is the era of the forgotten presidents, so nobody really cares about their policies. Nobody really voted for them because of their policies. They voted for them because the corporations are putting them in charge, and the corporations are giving them their jobs. They're giving them their oil. They're giving them transportation, all that stuff.
Yeah, so it's been, like, so all these, you know, these policies that mm-hmm. are in place now are because of all that corruption that took place back then. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if we look back, like, you know, we can thank Boss Tweed and these other, you know, really huge corporations for giving mm-hmm. us the regulations that we have today that we might take for granted.
I think it's so easy to, like, put the label of bad guy on these people because they're corrupt. Yeah, don't get me wrong. They did a lot of bad things. Boss Tweed is... He did a lot of bad things.
He stole a lot of money.
Mm-hmm. But without them, we would probably be living in that same corruption now.
That is true.
So I think that is something that's, like, so interesting about history to me, because I've said it before on this podcast, I love history. I am a huge history nerd, and Anna, you know that, because I talk about it all the time.
Indeed.
yes.
You're wearing a Hamilton t-shirt right now.
Yeah, I'm wearing my Hamilton t-shirt right now. I have a list of my favorite presidents. Like, this is my thing. I love history. So, I just think it's so interesting, like, how history has this way where you can't really label anyone as a bad guy and a good guy.
That's true.
Everything is just so, you know, double-sided. There's no, like, black and white. There's not even, like, really gray. It's literally, like, every color of the rainbow is in history.
It's all about, like, what perspective you have mm-hmm. on everything. You know, you can look at anybody and kind of see 2, 3, 10 sides.
Yeah.
And something that, you know, yeah, Boss Tweed, definitely, he's known for his corruption, but also, you know, he wasn't convicted for, like, over, like, a decade. Mm-hmm. And that just shows how, like, he was smart.
Uh-huh.
He deserves respect. He deserves respect for just, like, you know, bending the system. Mm-hmm. Like, getting around all these, like, the lack of rules and, like, doing what he wanted. And that's something that, like, that's why I am so, like, admiring of Boss Tweed.
That's what I think, too. I feel like not a lot of people give him that respect because he did so much work. And I feel so weird saying this because he, like, you think of him and you're like, oh, bad guy, corruption. Bad. No. But he did so many things that I don't think I could ever do. And my parents hear me talking about Boss Tweed, and every time I talk about him, my mom's like, oh, God, not again, like, rolls her eyes, because I just go on a rant about how much I love him and how much I think it's so, like, this era of history is so interesting to learn about.
Yeah, and he's become an example. We learn about him, AP U.S. History kids, learn about him every year.
Mm-hmm.
There's test questions about him. He's become just sort of, like, a symbol of corruption and, you know, what we can do to maybe prevent that in the future, and that shouldn't be something that, you know, that should be respected.
It should be respected.
It should be.
Also, A Push Kids, you better learn about him. He was our DBQ last year. Oh, the Gilded Age was our DBQ.
Yeah, definitely. If you're gonna have to write, so.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. All right. I think we about covered everything on him.
Yeah,
that was awesome.
With that, you know, I'd like to end with a final Boss Tweed quote.
Yes,
that
please
I think
do.
Is great. The way to have power is to take it.
Just let that marinate, guys. Just think about that and bring that into your lives.
Yeah.
So,
be like Boss Tweed. Thank you.
Thank you for listening. Please visit our sponsor, Hoffman Certified Organics, at the Fort Wayne Farmers Market or shop at LA Auto Meats. Tell them you heard the podcast. This has been Maya Wilkins and Anna Hildebrand, and we are the Charger Online Podcast.